for singing that song. I asked her to sing that song because it's really what I'm going to preach about today, about seeking Jesus. You know, this is the first week of a brand new year, 2020, and a lot of times at the beginning of a new year, we ask ourselves, you know, what's going to happen this next year? And I would just like to ask you, what is your, when you think of a new year, what is your greatest desire? And you don't have to answer out loud. What's your greatest desire for the new year? What do you want more than anything else? What do you want more than anything else this year? Your greatest desire. Answer that in your heart. We're going to look at a passage of scripture today where there's two people who the greatest desire of their heart, overwhelming greatest desire of their heart, was to seek after Jesus. To seek after Jesus. They're a great example to us, challenging us to do the same, to seek after Jesus. It's in Luke chapter 2, if you want to turn to that. Luke 2, and we'll pick it up in verse 21. In case you're wondering, I preached to Luke during the Advent season, and I'm going to keep going. We're just going to be with Luke for a while, okay? And go through the Gospel of Luke. There's great things in the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to see what God has to teach us. So let's read this scripture. Stand as we read this scripture. We're picking it up right after Jesus was born, just a few days after Jesus was born. The story continues. It says, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. There was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and we pray today, Lord, you'll speak to us through your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive the message you have for us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, to help us understand a little bit about what's going on here in this story, any young couple in Israel in that day who had a baby boy had to go through three rituals that the law required. The first one was circumcision, which happened on the eighth day of a baby boy when he was circumcised and given his name. We see that in verse 21, the family did that. Apparently, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary stayed in Bethlehem for a while. We know that because later the wise men show up, and when they went to Bethlehem, they found them in a home. Just messed up all your nativity sets right there. The wise men actually showed up a little later than the shepherds, because when they came, they found him in a home. So they're living in Bethlehem for a short period of time, and Jesus is circumcised, and they name him Jesus. The next thing you had to do, number two, is called the redemption of the firstborn. For this, you had to go to the temple, and there you had to pay to the priest 5 shekels for your son to redeem him back, because the law said every firstborn belonged to the Lord. So you would pay the priest these shekels, and you would redeem your son. It's a ritual that they did. That's the second one. The third one they would do was the rite of purification. This happened 40 days after the baby boy was born. When you came for that, you would offer a sin offering and two sacrifices, a sin offering and a burnt offering. Usually a lamb or a dove were used. If you were poor, 2 doves or 2 pigeons. Mary and Joseph are bringing 2 birds, as you see in the story here, which tells us they are poor. It also tells us they probably haven't met the wise men yet, because if they'd met the wise men, they wouldn't be poor. You remember the gifts that the wise men gave them? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they're expensive things. They would have money once they had those gifts from the wise men, but they're still poor. So Joseph and Mary are coming to the temple to do those 2 things, the redemption of the firstborn, the rite of purification. Apparently, they've stayed in Bethlehem at least that long, so to go to the temple and do these 2 things. We know after that, at some point, they're going to be warned by God to get out of there because Herod wants to kill baby Jesus. And he kills all the boys in Bethlehem. But the angel warns them and they escape to Egypt for a while. So that happens somewhere in here after this. And then they'll go to Galilee. In Luke's gospel, he just sends them right to Galilee. He skipped the part about them going to Egypt first. They do go back to Galilee, but first they go to Egypt for a while to escape, as we look at the other gospels. So that kind of tells us what's going on. Mary and Joseph are doing what every other couple who has a baby boy does. They're going to the temple to do these rituals that have to be done. There's the scene here. And there they're going to meet these 2 people, Simeon and Anna, 2 amazing people who their greatest desire in their hearts is to find Jesus, to seek Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. So we'll look at them as great examples to us. We'll look at a man named Simeon first. And we'll see that those who look for Jesus will find him. They'll find him. Simeon, it says, was a man who was righteous and devout. Luke says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's just a way to say he's waiting for the Messiah. He's waiting for the Messiah to come, the promised Messiah. To see the Messiah come was on Simeon's bucket list. He wanted to make sure he saw the Messiah before he died. He wanted to check that off. And he was given the assurance from the Holy Spirit that before you die, you're going to see the Messiah. He was given that assurance by the Holy Spirit. So he's waiting. The word waiting here does not mean he's just sitting down relaxing. It means he waits with the clear purpose of finding what you're looking for. He's intently waiting, expectantly waiting. When he came to the temple that day, he was expecting to find the Messiah. He's a good example to us to look to Jesus, to seek Jesus. I think a good challenge for us would be to make this year the year where we seek Jesus more than we've ever sought him before. To seek him, to know him better, to listen to him closer, to obey him quicker, to get to know Jesus Christ better and better. You see, to find him, we must first desire to find him. God, through the prophet Jeremiah, says, "You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." And I think I'm just playing with the PowerPoint here in my mind here. Sometimes it doesn't work quite the way I want it to work. But anyway, we must desire to find him. Gene's going to help me. There we go. We must desire to find him. Simeon, his desire was to find the Messiah, to find Jesus Christ. That was the driving passion of his life. That's what got him up in the morning. That's what fueled his fire. That's what got him going. He was so excited and so anxious to find Jesus. It was his great desire of his heart. You know, all of us have been given a desire to find Jesus. We might have buried it. We might ignore it. But it's there. We're all created to know him. Sometimes people fill that desire with other things like money and possessions and education or pleasure or whatever it might be. But it doesn't work. We're created to know him. And that desire cannot be fulfilled except in knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. The devotional writer Oswald Chambers said, there's only one being who can satisfy the last aching abyss of the human heart, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, like we read earlier, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So that's a question for us this morning. Do we desire to find Jesus? Is that what we want? To know him better? To spend time with him? To listen to him? Obey him? We must expect to find him. If you seek, desire to find him, you must expect to find him. Simeon was expectant. He was expecting to find him. He'd waited a long time. He'd probably been to the temple many, many times before, wondering if this would be the day. He was expectant. And I think one of the reasons Simeon saw Jesus on that day is because he was expectant. Think about how many people were in the temple on that day. Thousands upon thousands of people. It's a busy place with people sacrificing and worshiping and exchanging coins and buying sacrifices and people praying. And it's just a busy, busy place. But he came expectant. And it made me wonder, when we come to worship, are we expectant? Do we expect to meet with Jesus when we come? I know we come to see each other. We come to sing songs of worship and listen to music and enjoy all that. Nothing wrong with any of that. But the main reason we need to come is to seek Jesus, to worship. We must expect to find him because he isn't hiding. He isn't, he invites us to his presence. We must expect to find him. Those who find Jesus must receive him. Can you imagine the scene? Busy, busy, busy place. Those of you who have been to Jerusalem know that the Temple Mount up there where they believe the temple was built is huge. It's like, it's 34 acres. It's a huge area. And it was filled with people and filled with activity and filled with things going on. And it was busy and noisy and tons of people. Many couples coming in, just like Joseph and Mary with their baby, to do these ceremonies. They were not the only family there. Many of them were going. Can you picture Simeon? He'd been told by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple. He's scanning the crowd. And again, there's thousands of people there. He's scanning the crowd. How's he going to know who it is? He's looking. He sees many families, little families with babies. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit lets him know that's him. That's him right there. He knows it's him. And among all those people, he knows it's him. It's revealed to him. And he goes and takes Jesus in his arms. We must receive Jesus by faith. And I believe that's what Simeon's doing at that moment. When he goes up to Mary and Joseph and takes baby Jesus in his arms, I believe that's an act of faith. He's believing this is the one. This is the one that God has sent. This is the one that God promised. I love this picture that an artist drew of Simeon holding baby Jesus. We don't know how old Simeon was. He might have been older in age. Most people believe he's a little older. But he is just, this has been the driving passion of his life, to find the Messiah. And now he found him. And he has him in his arms. And I imagine him just weeping or laughing or something. I mean, he is beside himself. This is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the promised one. He's so excited. He takes him into his arms in an act of faith. And when I think about that, I'm thinking, you know, there is absolutely nothing the baby Jesus could do to make Simeon take him into his arms. Simeon had to do that, didn't he? And it's the same way with us. When Jesus offers us salvation in his name, he will not force us. There's nothing he will do to make us receive him. It's up to us to receive him by faith. We receive him by faith, an act of faith. When we receive Jesus, we receive hope to live with. It says that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, which means he's looking for hope. Where's the hope? And the hope is in the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who's come to earth. And now he says, I have seen him. Bucket list checked off. Check. I saw him. I saw the one that gives me hope, real and lasting hope. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. Inferring to Jesus, your salvation. Our greatest hope lives in Jesus Christ and the relationship we have with him. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope. We also receive peace to die with. Simeon says, again, we don't know how old he was. Many think he was quite old. He said, he was told by the Holy Spirit, you're going to see the Messiah before you die. Now he says, you can dismiss your servant in peace. Basically, what he's saying is, I'm ready to die. Now, we don't know how long Simeon lived after this, but we know he's ready to die. You can have peace because of Jesus Christ so that we can be ready to die. You know, one of the privileges I have as a pastor is to help people who are dying. You know, sometimes people get a diagnosis and the doctor tells them you have 3 months to live or 1 month to live or whatever. And what those people really want is peace. They want peace. They want to have the peace to be able to know it's okay to die, that they'll go to be with Jesus. And even though I don't enjoy it because it's sad, a time when someone is dying, there's a blessing in just being with people and praying with them and reassuring them that they have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and they're ready to die. They have peace to die. We all need to be ready, you know. All of us don't get those kind of warnings, do we? Just a couple weeks ago, we had a lady visiting, Anna Dawson's mom, visiting from the Philippines, was here in church with us. That night she died unexpectedly. No warning, she just passed away. You know, none of us know when we're gonna die. God knows. And I'm not trying to freak you out at all. But I think we really all need to be ready to die. Because when you're ready to die, you're ready to live. Right? You're ready to live. We don't know when God's going to call us home, so let's be ready all the time. And then you're ready to live and enjoy the life because you're going to live forever anyway. Amen? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Praise the Lord for that. Praise God for that. We can have peace to die with. Those who receive Jesus should praise him. When Simeon saw Jesus and grabbed him in his arm, he began to praise God. Several things he praised him for. First, we praise God for his sovereign rule. He says he calls God the sovereign Lord. That word Lord is an interesting word in the scripture. It's only used about 5 places in the whole Bible, that particular word Lord, this version of the word. And it literally means the absolute powerful ruler of everything. You are the sovereign, powerful, absolute ruler of all, the sovereign Lord, full of majesty and glory and praise. Isn't it interesting that as he praises God, the sovereign Lord, he holds the sovereign Lord in his arms? Think about that for a moment. God come to earth. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We can praise God for his sovereign rule. Even though there's evil in the world, there was then and there is now, God will have the final word. Evil will not win. God is the sovereign Lord, and his kingdom will rule forever. We also praise God for his faithfulness. Simeon said, as you have promised. Simeon knew about all the promises of the Old Testament. And God, as he's holding Jesus, he says, this is the promise. You promised me the Messiah, and here he is. He also had a personal promise that you would see the Messiah before you died, and he's holding Jesus. He knows that God's faithful. He says, as you promised. He's celebrating God's faithfulness, as you promised. And we praise God for his salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation. Now, all that Simeon had seen was a baby, but he knew that in Jesus was salvation. See, salvation is not about following a set of rules, following laws. Salvation's about a person, the person of Jesus Christ. That's why we talk about that we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because salvation is in Jesus. He is our salvation. You don't know Jesus, you don't have salvation. You know Jesus, you have salvation. He is our salvation. We praise him for his salvation. Simeon said to Joseph and Mary, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. That tells us that salvation will be offered to them, but many will turn it down. And that still happens today. Many turn down this amazing offer of salvation. Simeon also says that he will be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel, saying the Messiah is for all people, not just Israel, for everyone, the whole world. God loves everyone. 1 Timothy says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Those who praise Jesus should follow him. Simeon had been a follower of Jesus, follower of God for many days. He just met Jesus, follower of God for many years. And he would continue until his life ended on earth. But he's a good example to us in two ways. First, we must listen to the Holy Spirit. Simeon listened to the Holy Spirit. He had a pre-Pentecost experience with the Holy Spirit. Three times in this passage, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. God spoke to Simeon through the Holy Spirit and told him that he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah. He knew he was supposed to go to the temple because of the Holy Spirit. He knew that that was the baby Jesus, was the Messiah because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was guiding Simeon, and Simeon was listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit. God is still speaking to us. He's not done. He speaks to us through his word, speaks to us through prayer. He speaks to us through each other. He speaks to us through the church. He speaks to us through that still small voice. We need to listen. And I think one of the best New Year's resolutions you can make is, I'm going to make sure this year is a year where I listen to the Holy Spirit. Because he will not drown out everything else to get you to listen. You need to pay attention. It's that still small voice. And the noise of the world will drown it out if you let it. You need to listen. But not just listen. We need to obey the Holy Spirit. That's what Simeon did. If he hadn't obeyed the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't have been in the temple today. He'd have missed Jesus. They were just there for a short period and they're gone. The only time they were there with the baby was that time. He would have missed him, but he went because he heard the Holy Spirit and he obeyed the Holy Spirit. And he's there at the temple at the exact moment to meet the Messiah. We have to obey the Holy Spirit. Since we live by the Holy Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. An interesting thing happens if you don't obey the Holy Spirit. If you hear something from God and don't obey, then it kind of plugs up the communication line, so to speak, and it's maybe harder to hear him next time. But if you obey the Holy Spirit when he speaks to you, it opens up the channel of communication so you hear him clearer the next time he speaks. Obey the Holy Spirit. Well, Simeon blessed them on that day. They were blessed with a great blessing. There's another person who was in the temple that day, a lady named Anna. She's a prophetess. A lady who lived in the temple who spoke for God. A lady who spoke for God in the temple, a prophetess. She's old, says she was 84 in the scripture. She was perhaps led by the Holy Spirit as well. We don't know exactly why she was there, except she lived there. She was in the temple all the time. And she also came up to Joseph and Mary and worship the Christ. Those who find Jesus should worship him. We worship as we trust in God's word. As a prophetess, Anna spoke the words that God gave her to speak. She spoke for God. She was speaking God's word and God's words. Full confidence in the faithfulness of God. A woman speaking the words of God, believing the words of God. We trust as we worship as we trust in God's word. We also worship as we focus on God. Luke said she worshiped night and day. So the message is, her life was focused on God. That was her life. Because she was a prophetess, maybe she was given a room to live in the temple area. There was people who lived around the temple, up on the Temple Mount. She probably was one of them. So you could say, literally, she never left the temple because she lived up there. It was her life. She worshiped and prayed and fasted and did all these things. Her whole focus was on God. Now, we know there's other things she probably had to do in her life, but her focus, her main purpose, was focusing on God. She lived that way with her focus on God. And that's a great way to live. Even though we have a lot of things to do in our lives, we should live with always having this focus on God. Psalm 105 says, look to the Lord in his strength, seek his face always. Seek his face always. We worship also as we fast and pray. She's a good example to us of prayer. She was a person of prayer. She prayed and fasted. When you pray, you're expressing your faith in God, that God exists, that God hears you, that God will answer. And she fasted. Fasting is when you stop eating food for a time in order to concentrate on God in prayer. Some people fast a meal or a day or several days. Fasting is a private thing. You don't post it on Facebook and say, I'm fasting for the next 2 days. Leave me alone. It's between you and God. You don't fast in order to get anybody's attention. You fast in order to give your attention to God. And as an example of one who prayed and fasted. We don't know how much she prayed or we don't know how much she fasted, but she did it. Seeking God. Long before she ever met Jesus in the temple that day, she was seeking him. Seeking him. We worship as we recognize God's presence. Anna, in a whole new way, experienced the presence of God on that day. She was a worshiper, but on this day, she worshiped God in person. Think about it. Anna lived in the temple area. She could never go in the temple. Women couldn't go in the temple. Only priests could go in. Then priests were men. Certainly couldn't go into the Holy of Holies where God's presence was. Only the high priest did that one day a year on the Day of Atonement. She could never, ever get into the presence of God in that sense. But in this day when Jesus was born, when God came to earth and became a man, in essence, God left the Holy of Holies and became approachable. He became touchable and knowable. God became one of us. So when Anna comes up to Jesus on that day, she's coming up to the very holy presence of Almighty God in worship. How awesome that must have been. There are probably thousands of people in the temple area worshiping, but there's only two that really know what worship is about at this point, Simeon and Anna. And probably we could put Joseph and Mary in there too. They know what's going on because worship is about Jesus. It's about Jesus, recognizing God's presence. We worship as we give thanks to God. That's what Anna did. As soon as she saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God. She doesn't thank Simeon. She doesn't thank Mary and Joseph. She thanks God because he realized God has sent Jesus to this earth. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. That's what she's thankful for, that God has sent this one to the earth to bring salvation. A critical part of our worship is saying thanks. And we did that in a few moments ago when we did communion. We were saying thanks to God as a part of our worship. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We worship as we give testimony. Anna spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. That's speaking about the forgiveness that's going to come through Jesus Christ, who's going to be the one and only sacrifice for the sins of the world. Now, Anna, think about it. She lives in the temple. She's focused on God all the time. There's thousands of people coming there every day. Just think about all the people she got to talk to. I can just imagine it. She's seeing somebody coming in and bringing a sacrifice, and she pulling them aside and say, let me tell you who I met. Let me tell you about this Jesus, the Messiah, the one who's going to be the Savior of the world, the one who's going to bring redemption. It's not about those sacrifices you're carrying him. It's about Jesus. I just imagine she had a lot of those conversations before she died on this earth. She couldn't help but tell people about the Jesus she met. Like the disciples in Acts, where it said, we cannot help speaking what we've seen and heard. She couldn't help it. She told everybody about what she had seen and heard and about the child who was the Messiah, the Christ. I love the example of these two people, Simeon and Anna. And I think it's such a challenge to us as we begin a new year. Can this be the year where we'll seek Jesus like we've never sought him before? To know Jesus better than you've ever known him before? You see, like Simeon and Hannah found out, he's not hiding. He welcomes us. He says, come. If you will, he's waiting for you to know him better. He's waiting for you to spend time with him to get to know him better. There's so many things we have to do in our lives, so many distractions, so many responsibilities, so many things, and I know that the way it is, but we need to make sure that we seek him with all of our heart. That could be that some of you need to find some time to spend with Jesus. Maybe you're struggling to find time to spend with Jesus, to read his word, to pray. You know, I hear people say sometimes I don't have the time, and that's just a lie. You have the time. You're giving it to something else. You just gotta make the time there, take the time to spend some time with Jesus. Get to know him better. Seek him. You'll find him. You'll find amazing things as you get to know him more and more. I know that's my heart's desire, that this year will be a year where I get to know Jesus better than I've ever known him before. And us as a church that will seek him with all of our heart and know him better than we've ever known him before. And see what he wants to do in our lives and through our lives. So, I can't make any of you take this challenge, but I'm hopeful that many of you will take that challenge to make this year the year where you seek God with all your heart. Don't get distracted. Don't get off course. But know what you desire and make that desire to know him better, to seek him, and then do it. We're going to sing a song together and invite you to a time of prayer if you need to pray this morning. You can come pray about anything you need to pray about. He welcomes us into his presence. We're going to sing a song about Jesus. I love this song because it is all about Jesus, right? It's all about Jesus. That's what Simeon and Anna understood, and we need understood. Let's stand together and let's worship our Lord. If you need to pray, come and we'll